Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading from the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 5. Now, this has to do with the Ten Commandments, where Moses reiterates the Ten Commandments. And I want you to know that there are hundreds of other commandments in the Bible, but if we keep the first commandment, we'll keep all of those. We can't keep any of them unless we have this power. Some people call it the grace of God, the power of God in us, which is the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in us, and we can keep them all. And there's even hundreds of more, because the Lord nowadays, and for approximately 2,000 years, lives in human bodies, and he tells them, okay, go here. Go over there. Those are commandments. Amen? Get up. That's a commandment. Don't eat that. That's a commandment. Eat this. Drink this. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things and leads us, in other words, guides us, in other words, directs us, in other words, commands us to do certain things. Pray for your food. That's a commandment. Pray over it so that, he says, in the last days, almost everything is poisonous today. Contaminated one way or the other, and we pray over it, and the Lord said that no poisonous thing will kill us. So if you keep the first commandment to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you walk in the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit then, and you'll be able to keep more than able to keep all the commandments in the Bible. And so the main thing is the first, this is a basic structure, is the Ten Commandments, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery with them. You're not going to commit adultery with their wife. You're not going to commit adultery with, or you're not going to be a homosexual. You're not going to be a lesbian. You're not going to be a liar, a thief. You're not going to covet anybody's property because you love your neighbor as you do yourself. You wouldn't want these things to be done unto you. And so there, it's, you know, when you read the Bible, you'll see there are many commandments that the Lord gives people. He told Israel, now go out. Now come in. Now stay here. Amen?
Amen.
But the basic Ten Commandments are to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and don't covet your neighbor's anything or anything that anybody has. Don't be jealous. Don't steal. Don't lie. Because these type of people will go are going to the lake of fire. So, Father, we ask that you anoint chapter 5 here of Deuteronomy. Anoint it, and anoint me, Lord, that I may expound on it, that I may elaborate on it, that I may make commentary, that it's your commentary through me. And Lord, let every word that is said here this evening, or this early morning now, be straight from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments.
Verse 1.
And Moses called all Israel and said unto them.
See, all Israel. We're not just a few people of Israel, but everyone in Israel heard the Lord's voice on the mount. They saw the fire, the smoke, they heard the trumpets blast. And everybody in the world is supposed to keep the commandments of the Lord. They're supposed to hear the word of the Lord. Okay, so all Israel, and all the Israel, which is the born-again of the Spirit Christians, must hear the word of the Lord and do what he says. Otherwise, you're not part of Israel. All the Jews are not Israel. All Israel is not Israel. Only the believers. Then what?
Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Verse 2. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb.
Okay, and a covenant is a blood covenant. Even back then it was a blood covenant. He says, you do what I tell you and you'll be blessed. If you don't, you're going to be cursed. I promise you that. I covenant with you on that. And a covenant is a two-way street. It is a deal between you and God. And what a covenant, the New Testament covenant, is that we eat the Lord's flesh, which means that we're studying the Bible and doing what it says. And when we also drink his blood, which means we've signed a blood covenant with the Lord. We said, Lord, we mutually agree to keep the covenant with you. And so long as we keep the covenant with the Lord, then we will remain saved. But we must continue on a daily basis, every day until the end. Those that continue to the end shall be saved. Those that don't continue on a daily basis, taking up the cross, coming unto the Lord to follow him, and denying yourself, they've broken covenant with the Lord. In other words, it's as though treading the Word of God underfoot, which is the Son of God underfoot, and breaking the blood covenant, trampling underfoot, as though it doesn't mean anything. And so the Lord says that people that sinned under Moses, two or three people would testify against you that you sinned, and you'd be stoned to death. But how much sore is the punishment if you break covenant or lie to the Lord Jesus Christ and say you're going to follow him, that you're a Christian, and then you break covenant with him? You don't keep all of his commandments. It's the same thing as, do you have those scriptures? Let's read them of what would happen. You have them, right? Okay, we went over them today. I've put this in my new tract. Keeping the blood covenant is the same as drinking the blood of Jesus. Because when the animals were sacrificed, symbolic of the Lord and ourselves, the animals were cut down the middle, and the fire burnt us, that which was symbolic of us, and that which was symbolic of the Lord. Okay, so if you break the blood covenant with the Lord, what does it say? Read it.
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Once you've made a deal with the Lord, you were enlightened enough to make a deal with him, to make a covenant with him, then what?
And have tasted of the heavenly gift.
And you received the salvation, then what?
And were made partakers of the Holy Spirit.
And you received the Holy Spirit, the Lord entered you, then what?
And have tasted the good word of God.
And you read the word of God and knew that it was true, then what?
And the powers of the world to come.
And the power of the kingdom of heaven, and that it would be forever, and then what?
If they shall fall away.
If you should fall away, like the great falling away has happened today already, to live a lust or begin living a life of sin, then what?
To renew them again.
It's impossible to renew you again, to become saved again. To renew them again, what?
Unto repentance.
You cannot repent anymore. So people say they get bummed out because they like to sin part-time, and they like to come in and be holy for a few seconds or minutes of the evening or an hour a day. But then they live unholy lives 23 hours. Okay, then what?
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh.
You yourself crucify Christ again. Then what?
And put him to an open shame.
And put him to an open shame. So therefore, you have to be shamed forever, to be burning in the lake of fire forever. Now, this is New Testament. If you say the law doesn't apply any longer, then why is this? If there's no, you don't, once saved, always saved, how could this be? The people that say that just destroy, they just throw away the Word of God, these scriptures here. They don't want to know them, and they're just deceiving themselves and deceiving others. While they deceive others, they deceive themselves. Then what?
He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses.
Right. If you didn't want to keep the law of Moses, you're going to die. Just two or three witnesses have to report you, and you get stoned to death. Then what?
Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant.
The blood covenant between you and the Lord. You counted the blood covenant what?
Wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing.
You thought it was just nothing, just unholy. You know, we don't have to keep the commandments. Then what?
And hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace.
And you despise Spirit of grace means the Spirit of power. By God's grace I shall overcome. By God's power I shall overcome. Grace means power. You done despite unto the power of God. In other words, you said the power of God is nothing. I don't have to keep the commandments. Okay, then what?
For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord.
He said he'll repay you for such a thing. With an eternity, it's impossible to repent. and you're going to wind up in hell. And God gave the people in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, the Lord says he even gives the people of the Vatican and these heretical churches, these pagan churches, which are really cults, gave them a space of time, a lot of time to repent, and they repented not. So he's throwing them in a bed of affliction and killing all their children, all those that follow such evil, wicked, pagan doctrine. So he says, I gave them space to repent. You want to read that scripture? Get that. So that you know that I'm telling you the truth. And this is from the New Testament, these last two scriptures that we read, and the one we're going to read right now is in the book of Revelation. Where was that last scripture that you read? So they can look it up.
Yeah.
The first one and the second.
The first one was
Hebrews
6:4-3.
Chapter 6, verse 4 through what?
Verses
4, 5, and 6. And then what? And the next one was?
Hebrews
10, 28. Verses 28, 9, and 30. Now this is Revelation what?
2:21
through 23. 21, 22, and 23. Okay, read this. The reason God gives people these people so many years to repent, this is 2,000 years they haven't repented. So people cannot say that he didn't give them plenty of space to repent. Now God's cup is full of indignation and wrath, and he's just finished with people now. He's finished with sinners. People have read this, these scriptures and heard them over and over again, and now he's lowering the boom. Okay, go ahead.
And I gave her space to repent of her fornication.
Who is this talking? Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You're right. So I gave her space, what?
To repent of her fornication.
Around 2,000 years. That's something. Then what?
And she repented not.
And she wouldn't repent. This cult even got worse and worse as we got along. Now she's the mother of every abomination on the face of the earth. Then what?
Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her.
In other words, commit sin with her, that follow her leadings, guidings, and directions. Then what?
Into great tribulation.
She's going to put you into great tribulation. Then what?
Except they repent of their deeds.
Unless he still got mercy, they're saying, unless you repent of your deeds. Now, a lot of them he's killing left and right, right today, because they have not repented of their deeds. Then what?
And I will kill her children with death.
Kill her children means all those that follow her with death, and that's eternal death in the lake of fire. Then what?
And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts.
Now all the churches means everybody that has the Spirit of God in them shall know that what?
That I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts.
I search the reins and hearts of everybody. I know what you're thinking, I know what you're doing, I know what your intentions are. I know when you are committing sin in your heart. And then what?
And I will give unto every one of you according to your works.
And I'll give everyone what you deserve. You're going to get just exactly what you deserve. You and I. No one's going to get off the hook with it. Now let's go. We're in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy.
Verse 3. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us.
He made a promise, this blood covenant with us, those of us that are saved, those that are of Israel. He didn't make it with anybody else. Only those that are saved, he makes a blood covenant that all the blessings are yours if you do what he says. But he says all the curses belong to you if you don't. He says judgment begins at the house of God. So the first people that are judged will be the people that say they're of the Lord, the people that are of the Lord, and the people that stay there of the Lord. But they're not. Then what?
Even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Verse 4. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Verse 5. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying.
Well, why were they afraid of the Lord talking and everything? Because he's a God that is fearsome God. He's a God, he says, that is a terrorist. And he wanted them terrorized so that they would fear him. He says, you feared, you trembled. Your knees were trembling and knocking together. Even Moses feared the Lord so much that his skin quaked. And the Lord, the people today say, Oh, you don't have to fear God. It's the same devil that says, oh, God doesn't care if you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go on, eat. Then what?
I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Verse 7, thou shalt have none other gods before me.
That's the main one. You're going to serve me, do everything I say, and then you're going to be fine. And I give you the power, the spirit of my spirit in you, to do everything I tell you to do. You can't do it without me, so you just let the spirit of the Lord enter you, and then you'll see that you're going to be able to do everything he commands, and you'll love it. Because you'll know that you're not weak anymore, that the Lord has given you his grace, his power. Okay, then what?
Verse 8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth.
Why, because they're not gods. Either is man God. Man can't do a thing. Okay, then what else?
Verse 9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Yep, those that love him and keep his commandments, they get mercy. They'll go to heaven. And what else? The others go to hell. And what else?
Verse 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee.
And we know now that the Sabbath day is every day. We have to rest from our old works, from our old lifestyle, from a life of sin. And we rest in the Lord and just follow where he leads us by the Spirit. Okay. Now the translation.
Verse 1 through 12, the Ten Commandments. Moses called all the people of Israel together and said, quote, listen carefully to all the laws and regulations I'm giving you today. Learn them and be sure to obey them! Exclamation mark. Verse 2, while we were at Mount Sinai, the Lord our God made a covenant with us. Verse 3, the Lord did not make this covenant long ago with our ancestors, but with all of us who are alive today. Verse 4, the Lord spoke to you face to face from the heart of the fire on the mountain. Verse 5, I stood as an intermediary between you and the Lord, for you were afraid of the fire and did not climb the mountain. He spoke to me, and I passed his words on to you. This is what he said. Verse 6, quote, I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in Egypt. Verse 7, do not worship any other gods beside me. Verse 8, do not make idols of any kind, whether in the shape of birds or animals or fish. Verse 9, you must never worship or bow down to them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not share your affection with any other god! Exclamation mark. I do not leave unpunished the sins of those who hate me, but I punish the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generations. Verse 10, but I lavish my love on those who love me and obey my commandments, even for 1,000 generations. Verse 11, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Verse 12, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. King James Version, verse 13, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Verse 14, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. Verse 15, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 17, thou shalt not kill. Verse 18.
That's actually, thou shalt not murder. Okay. killing is permissible, to kill animals for food and to kill game, wild game, and fish and things like that. The actual original Hebrew tells us, thou shalt not murder. In other words, plot to kill a human being. It's talking about. Because a lot of times in the Old Testament, it says if you kill someone by accident, that there's cities that you can flee to so that the loved ones cannot take vengeance on you for accidentally killing somebody. Then what else?
Verse 18, neither shalt thou commit adultery. Verse 19, neither shalt thou steal. Verse 20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 21, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Verse 22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. Translation, verse 13 through 22. 6 days a week are set apart for your daily duties and regular work. Verse 14. But the seventh day is a day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day no one in your household may do any kind of work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys, and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do.
Right, and the Lord in these last days tells you to move on certain on the Sabbath day, what most people think is the Sabbath day, and then maybe on Wednesday or Thursday he'll tell you rest. Rest your bodies. This is just a stock thing for us to rest one day a week, but not from the labor of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what else?
Verse 15. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out with amazing power and mighty deeds. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Verse 16. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God will give you. Verse 17. Do not murder. Verse 18. Do not commit adultery. Verse 19. Do not steal. Verse 20. Do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Verse 21. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. Do not covet your neighbor's house or land, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else your neighbor owns. Verse 22. The Lord spoke these words with a loud voice to all of you from the part of the fire, surrounded by clouds and deep darkness. This was all he said at that time, and he wrote his words on two stone tablets and gave them to me. King James Version, verse 23. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. Verse 24. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. Verse 26.
So they're scared. They're scared of the Lord. And that's what they were in good shape then. Amen?
Amen.
For a while. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom, the Bible says. And you will not serve the Lord if you don't fear him. These people that walk around real haughty, you know, you don't have to do what God says. You know, it's all right to sin. Those people don't fear God, but they will. They're going to be sorry. Then what else?
Verse 26. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? Verse 27. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it.
Right. In other words, they're saying, don't let God, tell God not to talk to us no more. It's too frightening. He scares us too much. You go near to him and you hear him and then come and tell us what he said. Because we can handle it coming from you, Moses, but we can't handle it coming from him. we're sure that we'll die of a heart attack or something. Okay? That's what he's saying. Amen?
Amen.
So that's good that those people feared the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Makes the man's face to shine, the fear of the Lord. You know, anybody that doesn't fear the Lord is, don't do anything. They're capable of killing, murdering their own children, murdering their own parents. They're capable of anything. They're just possessed with the demons. They're possessions of the devil. Then what else?
Verse 28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken.
They have well said that they're afraid of me. And that, that they want you to talk to me instead of them. And they've well said that they would die if they were sinning and I was talking to them. Yes. I am a consuming fire. Kill them. All right, then what else?
Verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always.
Does it say reverence me?
No.
No, fear me. Why would God say, he told Mary, fear not. Why would he say, I'm going to tell you something nice. That's why you don't have to fear. Why would they turn around and say, reverence me not, reverence not? That's what they've changed it to. But they keep it there when he's discussing with Mary that she's going to be inseminated with the Holy Spirit to bring forth the Messiah. They says, Hail Mary, Then he says, fear not. Would God say for you not to reverence him? Reverence not?
No.
No, he was saying, fear not, because I'm going to tell you something nice. Okay, then what else?
Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever.
Yeah, so if you fear God, everything's going to be well with you and your children. You got problems with your children? Well, there's problems with you. Okay, then what else?
Verse 30. Go, say to them, get you into your tents again. Verse 31, But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Verse 32, Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left.
Now, this is boring to you. If you do, you're going to go to hell and to the lake of fire. So it shouldn't bore you, or you shouldn't get tired of hearing this. This is for your very life. Those of you who don't believe, you idiot. And that goes for, anybody. The President of the United States, if you don't listen to the Lord, and it's obvious you don't, you're an idiot. When I look at you on television, I see idiot written all over your face. Okay? The same thing with Pope. And all these people that think they're so dignified. I see idiot and vacancy written all over your face and your eyelids. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess.
Okay, now we go into the translation. That was the last verse. Verse number 33, and now we're going to go from verse 22 to 33, or 23 to 33.
Yes.
Okay, for the translation. And then we'll have some commentary. Okay, go ahead.
But when you heard the voice from the darkness, while the mountain was blazing with fire, all your tribal leaders came to me. Verse 24. They said, quote, The Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice from the heart of the fire. Today we have seen God speaking to humans, and yet we lived! Verse 25, But now why should we die? If the Lord our God speaks to us again, we will certainly die and be consumed by this awesome fire. Verse 26, Can any living thing hear the voice of the living God from the heart of the fire and yet survive? Verse 27, You go and listen to what the Lord our God says to you, Then come and tell us everything he tells you, and we will listen and obey. Verse 28. The Lord heard your request and said to me, I have heard what the people have said to you, and they are right. Verse 29.
They're right. I would kill them. Amen.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Everything they said was right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you better talk to me, Moses. Huh? Then go and tell them what I said. And if I tell you that I'm going to kill them, they better, you know that they're going to die. And everyone today, if you sin, he wants everybody to know you're going to hell in the lake of fire. You cannot live a life of sin. You have to start really serving the Lord. You have to be a slave of the Lord. Either you're a slave of the devil or you're a slave of the Lord. You're either a captive of the devil or of the Lord. He bought me, that's why I'm his slave. I'm not a servant. Servants come to work in the morning and they go home. But a slave is owned by the Lord. He bought us, he purchased us with his blood, and therefore we have to be with him all the time. Because he's our Savior, our God. And he bought us with his blood. And we belong to him. We're no longer ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
He says, know ye not that you're the temple of God, and you don't belong to yourself anymore, you belong to the Lord. He bought you, he purchased you to live in. And he wants to grow up inside you to become the fullness of his image, to grow up like a big giant tree, like to the full stature of the Lord, to where you can be as good of a witness as the Lord God was in the body, the human body of Jesus. Okay, then what?
Oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all my commands! Exclamation mark.
Yes, because he says, I am your friend if you obey all my commandments. But I'm certainly not your friend if you don't keep all my commandments. Everything is with the Lord. People say, well, the Lord just loves us unconditionally. But everything with the Lord is conditional. You must come to him to get saved. That's a must. If you don't come to him to get saved, you can't be saved. And if after you get saved, he says, come now unto me and take up your cross and follow me. If you don't do that, well, then you're not saved. Then you're turning your back on him. Then he says, for you to learn of me. And he says, put my yoke upon you, my work upon you. Let's start working together. Let's study to be a workman approved by the Lord. Study the word. And then those are all commandments over and above the 10. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Surrender yourself unto the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. All those that walk in the Spirit, all those that there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he said, so walk after the Spirit. He says, you can do nothing without me. He said, he wants us to grow fruit, to win souls, and then to water them. There's all kinds of commandments. Lots of them. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a commandment. He says, because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's not the Holy Ghost. There is no such thing as a Holy Ghost. God is not a ghost. The Bible says that God is a spirit, not a ghost. And that those that worship him must worship him not in ghost and in truth, but in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the King James Version errs, should not have said ghost, the translators. The original Hellenic Greek says spirit. And the Old Testament says spirit. Does never say ghost. And these people that keep saying the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost in fire, it's keeping me alive, I know that they're not mature in their faith. They haven't studied well enough to know this. They don't know the Lord well enough to know that God is spirit. And all those that worship him must worship him in ghost and in truth. Huh?
No.
Or in spirit and in truth.
In spirit.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Then go ahead.
Oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all my commands! Exclamation mark. If they did, they and their descendants would prosper forever. Verse 30.
Yeah, if you feared the Lord and did what he says, you'd prosper forever. I mean, in this world, there would be no sickness, disease, infirmities on you. There, you would not be scatterbrained, or like your brain wouldn't be warped like so many people are today. You wouldn't be getting into sin. you wouldn't be broke. You'd always have enough to eat. You'll never see the righteous begging bread, the children of the righteous begging bread. Amen?
Amen.
But God feeds even the little sparrows because they're not sinning against him. And the lilies are not sinning against him. And he clothes them even more elaborately than he did King Solomon in all of his glory. Besides, King Solomon didn't have a state-of-the-art kitchen or bathroom in his castle. Amen?
Amen.
We do. We're actually more blessed than King Solomon was. Even the most moderately wealthy person, even people that are poor, have bathrooms. Amen?
Amen.
And have toasters to toast. You know, you think that they had toasters to toast their manna?
No.
No. For God's sake, no. All right, come on. We're blessed by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 30. Go and tell them to return to their tents. Verse 31.
See, but tents. You live in a tent? You're more blessed. Okay, then what else?
But you stay here with me so I can give you all my commands, laws, and regulations. You will teach them to the people so they can observe them in the land I am giving to them as their inheritance. Unquote. Verse 32.
Yeah, also, did Solomon have automobiles?
No.
Have Escalades? Rolls Royces? Fords? Chevys? No. Never even knew such a thing. Right?
Right.
They didn't even have scooters. Right?
Right.
Bicycles. No, they used donkeys and stuff like that. Camels. Horses. Now we have 350 horsepower motors. Amen? Buses. We're far more, living more elaborately than they did. And now people complain more today than is they talk about the Israelites complaining. Throw you out on the wilderness and let's see how you do. Amen?
Amen.
No Chinese restaurants or Wendy's or Burger King or McDonald's or fast food or send down to the bakery or go to the grocery store. Where was the grocery store set then? Out in the wilderness, huh? Okay, then what?
So Moses told the people, quote, you must obey all the commands of the Lord your God, following his instructions in every detail. Verse 33, stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy, unquote.
All right, that was the last verse in chapter 5, and now we've got some commentary.
5, verse 6 through 21. This is a rehash or a recital of the Ten Commandments originally given to Moses in Exodus 20, verse 2 through 17. Moses was providing the interpretation for the new people, the younger ones that were left, that did not get wiped out. It was a new situation. He had to tell the new people the laws before they went into Canaan. This is an exposition or selective paraphrase. Moses didn't give it verbatim as he did in the 20th chapter of Exodus, but he sort of paraphrased the law by Moses and is not meant to be a word-for-word reproduction of what he said in chapter 20 of the law, but it was the exact same meaning. 5, verse 8 through 9. These two verses should be taken together. This is a prohibition against statues and to never worship them. Chapter 5, verse 23 through 28. The leaders of Israel wanted Moses to act as an intermediary between themselves and God. In this role, Moses is a type of the, quote, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, unquote. 1 Timothy 2, 5. A rehash on chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. God gave his people the Ten Commandments after reminding them that he had redeemed them from slavery in Egypt, which is the same as the Lord redeeming us from sin, which is the same as Egypt. These laws stated how God's redeemed people were expected to be, not act, but how they were supposed to live. They contained a godly pattern of living for people of all ages. But they are also a collection of rules and regulations, like for the way we conduct our lives.
Right now it says for all ages. What I'd say is because children must learn how to witness and testify just like everyone else, because children are not, they've got more chutzpah than the adult. They are fearless. They'll pass out literature and without any fear whatsoever of anything happening to them. And they, the Lord states that we need to have the faith of a little child. So children are more highly esteemed, it seems, by God than people that are middle-aged or older, with the exception of those that are highly chosen by the Lord, who fear him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But children are esteemed very high. The kingdom of heaven, such is the kingdom of heaven, these little children. So people that don't discipline their children and teach them how to witness, how to testify, they don't read the word with them, they don't read the word with other children, they're not receiving from the Lord that the kingdom of heaven is paved, is filled with childlike faith. No other faith will be there. You have to actually believe God, just as a little child believes a real good parent. They trust in their parent with all their might. And some children that are chastened by their parents and they think that their parents are evil, the Lord says that a child that is not chastened by their parent, that parent does not love that child. Because a highly chosen vessel of God, one that believes God, will chasten their children betimes, many times, because they love them and they don't want to see them spend eternity in the lake, in hell and in the lake of fire. They want to see them in heaven. And of course, many children rebel against that and they think their father or their mother hates them. But that's only because they don't believe the word of God. The word of God says that the Lord himself chastens and scourges everyone that he loves. And so does a godly man or a leader of God. They're going to scourge and they're going to chasten everybody in the whole congregation and everyone in the world. But they do it under the supervision, the instruction and supervision of the Lord. Okay, then what?
These laws are a set of not ideaful, but absolutely commanded goals for us to keep. We're all both affected or gripped by power, the effects of sin. God's laws describe what we're supposed to do to get back to the fullness of the stature of Christ. We must continue keeping the law, and we can by the power of God in us for the rest of our whole, entire life.
Now, he says we can more than keep the commandments. He says we're more than conquerors. Okay, so it isn't just that we can, but we are more than able to do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I can do all things in Christ Jesus, Paul said. Amen?
Amen.
And I can too, and you can as well. If you're of the Lord, you can do all things in him. Okay, then what?
We have to discipline ourselves. We have to do it ourselves or make ourselves be disciplined by the discipline of the Holy Spirit and God's powerful help, which is the Holy Spirit. Then we'll find when we only walk in the Spirit that these commandments will become a part of our normal life. 5 verse 9 through 10. God is jealous of our affections, and when we fail to give him all of our affections, which is the proper place in our life, there will be negative consequences always. We are not the only ones who will suffer. So will our children and grandchildren. God created us to live according to his rules, regulations, his laws.
Yeah, he created us and called us to serve him because he wants us to be just like him. Not an imitation, but he wants for us to be like a glove for him to live in. He created us so that he could make us into his likeness and image. He originally did that, and man fell away, and now he wants to restore us, to completely change us into new creatures, because when we fell away, we became evil. We became sinful, and we're on our way to hell. Then when he comes into us, we come to him, and he enters into us by his spirit, into our spirit, then he wants to grow up into us into his image and likeness, so that we don't look like the rest of the world. We don't act like the rest of the world. We are not like the rest of the world. We're set aside, set apart for his, so he can live it, his life out in us, so he can represent himself in us to the world, to show that there is a God in heaven and that it is possible for people to be more than able to keep the law. He came to fulfill the law in himself and in us. So he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it, not only in himself, but by living in and through us. He says, greater works will ye do than I have, because he himself will be living in many of us. And he'll be able to do his work all over the world, because when he was here in the flesh, he was confined to time and space. He was in Israel, and he wasn't in Billings, Montana, or Texarkana, Arkansas, or Fort Smith, or Los Angeles, or Berlin. But now he is. Amen?
Amen.
Now he is. And in a lot of different little hamlets, villages all throughout the world. The Lord is everywhere, and his army is coming together, and we all need to abide in the Spirit and support each other. Okay? This isn't the meaning of what they say, that we should all join all the different churches and cults in the world. No, we have to set ourselves apart from those. But I mean, true born-again of the Spirit Christians need to support ourselves and also do our best to win the rest of the world and the people that are in cults, presidents, kings, and all these people, get them saved too. King Agrippa almost was persuaded to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Almost is not good enough, though. So we really have to be a strong testimony, and that only can happen if it's the Lord being the strong testimony in and through us. Okay, then what?
By following them, we will have hope for a future in the kingdom of heaven, and a future here for our children and grandchildren. We need to start by putting God first in our life. 5 verse 20. Honesty must be characteristic of everyone who calls themselves Christian.
Yeah, you can't be a liar. And if you've lied and never confessed it, you're still a liar. Because that sin is still in you, and you're hiding the devil. You think you're hiding him, but it's very obvious. It's seen. It's observed. Your speech, your conduct shows that you're still, the Lord is not living in you, because you're still sin in you. Okay, then what?
Honesty must be characteristic of everyone who calls himself Christian, especially those of us who are striving for perfection. How can we strive if we're not honest? Healthy living before God demands that we are honest with ourselves and others and about others. Being honest in our relationships with the Lord and people is a necessary requirement for reconciliation with God and with people that we have wronged, as well as with those who have wronged us.
Well, praise the Lord. That was chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and we'll be doing chapter 6 this evening, God willing. And until then, remember all the things that you've learned here this evening from chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. And think about it all day long and all night, all your waking hours. And remember, it's just one day at a time. If we start thinking about tomorrow or the next, we get overcharged, and we needn't think about tomorrow or the next day, because we may not be around tomorrow or the next day. So just sufficient is the evil of this day, the Lord said. So just keep yourself in armor and armed and fight the good fight of faith. No need to say God bless you, because if you're keeping the commandments, all the blessings of God are upon you. So I'll just say, sign off by saying, praise the Lord. Amen.